Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning, Florida, Mississippi, and the state of Alabama. Glad to have you on board with us this morning as we welcome you to the Charleston Gaslanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen, the big guy, Coach Rick Cleveland. Well, he's on assignment. Mark, let's call it assignment. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So Mark, it's an assignment, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's out having fun. That's Absolutely. Where he is, all right. Hey, but Mark Lasseter, Coach Lasseter, you are here with me, and we got a great lineup. We're going to share who's in here with us in just a few moments. But, man, you have had a busy week, little guy.
Yeah, it's been a week. It's been a week. You know, you get to take our football team down to Camp Beckwith for 4 days. And our, let's see, really, three nights. We leave on Tuesday night and come back Friday. It feels like 4 days. But, it was a good time. The boys, we had a lot of hard work. They ate very good. The folks at Camp Beckwith knows how to feed a bunch of kids. And we had a really good time. A long week and, and a rainy week. And that gets kind of shaky, you know, because you got everything set up at certain times. And when you're at camp, you don't have a whole lot of leeway. But we were able to get our practices in, and the kids worked really hard. And it was a pretty physical week, and we were all glad to get home. We had a scrimmage last night, and I was really proud of the way the kids, got after it and worked hard, and we had a big crowd. I wish we had it'd been great if we could have had a gate. That would have helped, helped the financial situation. All kidding aside, it was a lot of people there to watch the scrimmage, and it was really nice to see all those folks. Of course, hamburgers and hot dog cookout afterwards, and kids running around. It's the kind of thing you want to see around high school.
They sports. Have a good time with that, don't they?
They really do, and it's really a family atmosphere with kids and moms and dads and friends. Our cheerleaders came. They came and watched the scrimmage. And I guess getting as old as I am and coaching and how long I've been doing, it's one of the biggest blessings I had last night was former players showed up.
Oh, cool.
Lots of them. And I hadn't seen for years that are all back in town and had come by to watch. And they came out on the field, and it was, a time of hugs and – how are you? And what are you doing? And like kids that played, you remember Tucker Mills
here? Oh, absolutely.
He's graduating from Alabama at the end of this year.
Man, time's going by
and,
too fast.
And it's just crazy how fast they go by. But what a great week, great camp. Coach Lazenby, has really made that thing a real special trip. And it was a good week. Long week, hard week. I was glad to get in my own bed last night. But
I bet you were, man.
It was a good week for us.
I bet you were. They say when the cat's away, the mice will play. And that is exactly what we're going to
Absolutely.
Do today. We have got a very special guest in our Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room Studios, Coach Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort, in here with us. Coach, how you doing? Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you all for having me.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. First year at Spanish Fort. Man, you got to be excited about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for people that don't know, basically started my career here. 23 years old. We were fortunate enough in 4 years to win a state championship. Moved here, obviously, in 2007. I've never left. My family's built our future
Sure.
here and our present life here, so it means a lot to me. And you hear all these things when in coaching and the right fit, right? Is he the right fit? Is this the right fit? And I just can't say enough about what this place is and what it represents and a great fit for myself and my family.
Well, and I know the folks here at Spanish Fort are certainly glad to have you. And, man, we're just a couple of weeks away. We're going to talk about that 6A Region 1 that you're in mm-hmm. because it is a toughie.
It's a booger. I looked at the thing. This was a good
We were
gosh.
Talking about that just a few moments ago, and you run down that. I mean,
that's some good football teams in that deal. Oh, yeah.
They're really,
every week.
Even when you go to what would be maybe considered – maybe the lower one.
Well, as far as what the writers are saying, yeah, the lower one. That's two good football
teams.
That's
what I'm saying.
And so, I don't really, it's one of those things. And Chase knows this better than I do. You know, you look at that deal in that region, there's no weaknesses on there. You get down there, you better be ready to line up and play every week or you're going to get beat. That's just the way it is in that group. So that's the deal now. But I'll tell you what, when those guys come out of that region into the playoffs, they're ready for playoffs because they've been doing it every week since the first start of the region. Again, they've been doing it all year long. So they're already ready and veterans of playoff atmospheres because they've already been in it.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I don't think there's any question. We're going to break down that region for you, get your thoughts on it as you go into this season and look at some of these and how you prepare for those. And I know it's typically the old adage, one game at a time. I get that. But, boy, there's some of those on that schedule you look at and you say, hey, we better be circling that one. All right, because, Coach, I know you do that.
You know, there was a thing a Coach told me a long time ago when I was a young coach, and I cannot remember – who it was, I don't remember who it was, told me, said, you know, when you get ready for in your summer and you get ready to get your kids ready, and you look at your schedule, you want, like I was coaching offense back then, so you want to prepare your offense to play against the best defensive coordinator you're going to see on your schedule, mm-hmm. who you think that guy is, mm-hmm. and just kind of know, okay, we're going to have to be able to do this. We got to do that. We're going to have to do, not that that's the only game of the year, right. but just kind of get your kids ready for what you know is going to get thrown at them. And if you do that, then there's a good chance you'll be ready or have a good base defense or offense or whatever for the teams you got coming up throughout the season. You know, so that's kind of what the – and I remember we were playing when I was at Fairhope, I was thinking, gosh, who are we going to have to – when I was going, okay, we're going to get ready for – Bob Newton's Homewood offense, because that back in the early 2000s, he ran some really good stuff, and they were a big zone, inside zone team, and he coached that inside zone about as good as anybody I've ever seen.
He was the one that I watched him practice. I'm from Birmingham, went to Shades Valley High School.
I got you.
And he was the first one that I heard of what we call pods, where he broke everything down and how he taught the zone, which I still did when I was in college coaching. Is just the two-man pod on one and right. teaching the pods and really right. breaking that zone down. I thought that was interesting. But, yeah, Bob, that was good to hear that name.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, Bob and Lazenby played college ball together at Samford.
That's right.
It was on that team. This is what's really weird was Buddy Anderson was on that team. Bob, Phil, Carol Cox, who was at Jess Lanier, you know, Hall of Fame coach at Jess Lanier. There's a coach who's Phil can tell me who they all are, but there's about five or six tremendous high school coaches that came out of that one football team at Samford.
That's interesting.
That's good stuff.
You know, you look at that kind of the history of Spanish Four and Vista with Coach Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros. You look at that history, of course, you had Barry Gibson who came in there right from the very beginning, got that program up and going, and then Bryant Vincent comes in and has a pretty good success there, and then followed up by Mark Freeman, I guess, and then Ben Blackman. So there's quite a legacy right there in that Spanish Fort Toro football team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's part of the tradition. You know, again, all those coaches, and again, I was there for the with Bryant Vincent, obviously, and it's about what those kids in this community did. You know, and those coaches were the leaders and the vision that they shared. This community got behind it, and the kids bought in. I remember in 2007 working out in an English classroom, and we didn't have a home field.
That's right.
At Fairhope.
That's right. Sure did.
But I feel like a lot of that was what gave Spanish Fort kind of that chip on its shoulder. I mean, we wore it as a badge of honor.
Right.
You know, we're going to go over here and beat you on this person's field.
Right.
We're going to outwork you in this little classroom. We don't have this fancy 5,000-square-foot weight room, but we're going to outwork you in this little classroom.
And you did, and I will tell you, outstanding job you did, because you're right. You had very, very, very little to work with. You mentioned Fairhope. That's who you're going to actually open up with.
That's right.
And you do that, in 2 weeks, I guess?
Yep, August 19th. You know, Tim Carter down there does a fantastic job. They're going to be very, very well coached. They got college coach level. And that's the thing in this whole region in there is the coaching is tremendous in this area. I mean, it's college level coaching.
It really is,
and you have to be ready week in, week out. But Tim does a great job. Those kids, we saw them 7-on-7. They're very big, very athletic. They've got that quarterback that's a very good player, and they're just going to be a very, very tough team. Tim's going to have them ready and have them united, and there's not going to be any issues about playing together. And it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be fun.
Well, there's our music.
Hold your thought. Hold your thought, all right? That means we got to take a timeout. But when we do come back, I want to break down that schedule. Let's take a big look at this 6A Region 1 because it is a whopper.
It is.
No doubt about it. You got to tune in to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Lasher, Coach Chase Smith hanging out with us right here on the PSR Radio Network. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
Just gotta let that roll, Mark.
You gotta let
them let that roll.
The guys can flat sing.
You a big Steely Dance fan? There you go. All right. Well, good. Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Lasher, Coach Chase Smith, Spanish Fort head football coach, hanging out with us here in our Genesis Room at Eastern Shore Hyundai. Glad to have you here with us on board as we welcome all of our friends along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. Hey, two new stations up in the central Alabama area, Kicks 100.3 and 96.3. Glad to have you on board with us.
Where are they?
As well, up in the central Alabama.
Oh, really?
Silicotta,
nice.
Lake Martin, Montgomery, Birmingham, that whole central Alabama area.
What'd you have to say anything about Lake Martin for?
Because
could you imagine how pretty that lake is this morning? Water still, you know, little mist coming off of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Bass are laying up on those rocky points this morning.
Chase, you've never been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is a beautiful, beautiful spot. And I know there's a lot of folks that get out there on their boats. As you know, Mark, there's a lot of them out there just laying in the water right now that got us tuned in.
That's exactly right. And while we got a second, I just want something's heavy on my heart this morning. Former coach from that area, from Childersburg and all around, was coach at Brantley. Coach named John Moore, played football at Alabama, played football at Robert E. Lee. He is my wife's mom's brother-in-law, and I've known John for years and years. In fact, I was at Childersburg when he was assistant principal there. But John passed away this last week, and as a mentor to me in many ways. Just did a great job as a coach and a teacher, had a love and passion for kids. And the folks up in that area that know John, he coached a lot of those kids, and he'd been on the decline for a while. He was in his 80s, but he left quite a legacy behind. And I just wanted to give a thought of prayer for his family and all the folks that were touched by John's life.
Well said. Well said. Certainly thoughts and prayers go to the family. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, visiting with us, Coach Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. We're going to talk about this 6A Region 1 that you are in. We talked about Fairhope, which you jump up in region there. That's a classification 7A. And when you look at this 6A Region 1, it is a toughie. It is a toughie. Let me go back through that real quick as you have Saraland. By the way, coming up in the next hour, we'll have Coach Jeff Kelly on with us. We'll talk a little bit about the region as well. But you got Saraland, Theodore, St. Paul's, Spanish Fort, McGill-Tulin, Baldwin County, Blount, Robertsdale, and Murphy. And Chase, when you go through that list right there and you look at your schedule, you start out with Fairhope, so you're out of classification, but – man, then you come back that second week with Blount. The expectation there is you better be ready.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing as a coach is, you know, we were talking about at the break, but just the depth in high school football, it scares you, you know, and you have to be ready week in and week out. And you know, the PC thing and everything is, you know, every game, and it does, but you find yourself in certain places where it's like, okay, this team's not where they need to be. They're developing, and maybe this is an opportunity to where we get in and take care of business. Our younger guys get to play, things like that. It happens, but you don't have that here. It feels like a semifinal game every
right.
week. And we talked about the coaching, I mean, the high level of coaching. And I think when you say coaching, it's not just in the fall. It's what's happening in the offseason.
Right.
I mean, these kids, just like we have, just like Jeff has, just like these schools have, is a year-round strength coach that's dedicated and devoted to the newest trends of recovery and sports performance,
right.
You know, and everything's on the cutting edge. You know, that you don't have these, you know, we have a special teams coordinator, you know, that's constantly on the cutting edge of special teams. There's nothing overlooked in this region of coaching, and then obviously the great athletes. You know, this is a very athletic region, and it's a great thing because it's you work your butt off 365 to play a semifinal game every week. It feels like as a coach, I think it adds some takes some years off my life a little bit. but you know, it's a high level region,
right.
You know, and it's one that we're excited about, and it gets you excited for high level competition.
You know, one of the things that as you go through the summer and when you finish the season, you start looking toward the next season. And I know, and Mark, I'm certainly not picking on Bayside because I think it happens to every school. I don't care what classification you are in. It's that first ball game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how are we going to come out on injuries? Are we prepared? Because that's something, as you mentioned, you gotta have that preparation, especially with the heat that we have well into the season. Okay. Talk a little bit about that with Spanish Ford. How what's that first game look like? What's your anticipation level as that first kickoff happens just a couple weeks away?
Yeah, and we travel to Fairhope, so the feeling of being prepared for that home game isn't there, which is good because it's a lot more as on a host football coach,
right.
As you know. But just being prepared, you know, I mean, as a head coach, not only being prepared for offense, defense, special team, got our depth charts, being able to tackle. You know, I was talking to another head coach in this area and said, what do we do? What do you do? Because – do you let them live tackle this many times? Do you let them take them to the ground? Or do we stay up? Do we have our bullets? Do we protect them? And that's a fine line. I've got to see that these kids can live tackle to be prepared for that first game. But then, you know, as a coach, I've had it, and I know you've gone through it, coaches, a kid gets hurt in fall camp. We can't have that, you know. So it's that fine line, and that's where you have to find that where you feel comfortable as a coach, and you got to read your kids. But yeah, just prepared for that first ball game, and then are the buses are lined up? You know,
it's all those extracurricular things you have to worry
who's
about.
Who's got the
balls? Are the balls on the bus?
Are the balls on the bus? I mean, it is.
Have I got the tee,
guys? I sit there and I everything I do, I've learned the hard way.
Me
right?
Too.
So
me too.
I mean, we got to a game last year. And I go through a checklist. All right, touch your helmet, touch your mouthpiece, touch your shoulder pads, straps. I mean, I do it just like
right.
Helmet because lo and behold, a kid, coach, I got two left cleats. Yeah,
right.
I mean, you know, we're 2 hours away, son. I mean, you know, so that happened. Touch your cleats. I do. Do you have your right cleat? Do you have your left cleat? But no, those things and they can be aggravating.
Oh, that's
funny. But once you get in a routine and the kids get in a routine, and that's what we're looking for as coaches is start the school, start the season. Let's get in a routine. Because I'm a systematic routine guy, like most coaches are. So I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, it's a high-level excitement, and it's getting closer every day.
And I think these kids need routine. They need
they
that,
do.
And they look for it. We're visiting with Coach Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Ford. Mark?
You know those things about that first game is that when I remember, and I'll do it again in a couple of weeks, when we get on the bus and I think we're going to Alberta that first ball game and we'll be riding down there and I'll be on that and I'll be looking at my call sheet or whatever I got going. I go, did I cover that enough?
Mm-hmm.
Did I get this enough? Are they prepared? Next thing I know, I'm getting up in the bus, going back, trying to find somebody. Did you understand what happens if they do this? And, you know, and sometimes – then you sit down and you go, did I just overdo that? Did I just put something in his head he doesn't need? You know? And it's a fine line
right.
That you're always searching for. As coaches, I think all of us do this. They say after the first ball game is when you'll make the most changes on your
That's
team.
That's right.
Okay? We, as coaches, try to get all that done before that first game. And then you go into the first game and you want to kick yourself on Saturday morning going, God, why didn't I have him here? Why didn't I do this? You know, but that's just the nature of the beast. And that goes from, you know, in the pros, that's a different deal. You know, the college is a different deal. They bring those guys in and they got depth at those positions. In high school, you have these kids who come to your school and that's who they are. And you do the best you can with them and try to get them in the right spot. Sometimes they're not. Maybe they are. But it's not best for your team
right.
At that. And you have to make those changes. And the thing that happens, and then, like you said, if you get somebody injured, you know, God forbid you get too injured, you know, early on, and you have to make some real changes because there's no – sometimes there's – I don't care what anybody says. There's not a lot of depth in high school football. There's just not. And it, when there's not and you lose a guy, if you lose a guy in the lower classifications when you don't have a lot – and even in high, upper school, I mean, we played kids that when I was head coach at Fair Oak that had to play both ways some. Not a lot, but we had some. And if you lose him, you may lose not one position but two positions.
Right.
And so – those are all things that go into that first ball game. It is a nerve-wracking experience. The Thursday night before for opening Friday night varsity football game is a no-sleep night. You're just not going to get much sleep. You're just going to toss and turn and hope you get everything in.
And I think a lot of folks would like to know, what's going through the coaching staff's mind the night before that first ball game?
Go ahead, buddy.
I'll chime in as soon as you get done.
Please, God, don't let this be.
If you hear the music, that means we got to carry it over.
No, but I mean, you know, when we get to that Thursday night.
You know what? Hold it. Yeah, hold it right there.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah,
this is going to be fun.
You won't want to miss it. All right? Chase Smith, Toro's head football coach. Randy Bergen, Mark Laster. Coach Rick Cleveland, he is out. So the cat's away and the mice are going to play.
Absolutely.
So there's no doubt about it. Hey, don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Coach Rick Cleveland. Are we saying he's on assignment?
Yes.
Or are we saying he's out playing?
That's the correct thing to say.
Okay, he's on assignment. He's on assignment today. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, hanging out with us here in the Genesis Room at Eastern Shore Hyundai is Coach Chase Smith, head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. And, Coach, I know we went into that break. We were talking about what does that first – that
the night before.
The night before, what does that look like? But you know what I'd like to do? I'm going to back up a little bit, all right, before you give that answer. And let's talk about, A, your coaching staff, and then let's talk about that week prior, building up to that the night before.
Right.
All right? Talk about your coaching staff for just a moment.
Well, I'm just blessed to have some great guys, great coaches, great mentors, understand the standard of Spanish Fort. Was able to bring in a few new guys to come in and help. And first guy, Brian Turner, is my defensive coordinator, defensive line coach. Me and Brian coached together at South Alabama, known him for a long time. Fantastic coach. Coach Justin Thomas, offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, run game coordinator for me. Really one of the only guys I trust to coach offensive line. My background's offensive line, and I learn from him every day. He's fantastic with the kids. Co-offensive coordinator, Brady Vincent, Bryant Vincent's son.
Sure.
He was with me at Orange Beach, pass game coordinator, coaching the quarterbacks, doing a fantastic job.
Good coach.
There.
Good guy.
Really just the epitome of Spanish Fort, too. Able to bring, you know, graduate from Spanish Fort, so that's really cool there. Receiver coach, Bryant Hall, been there, fantastic coach, does a great job there for me. Assistant wide receiver coach, a younger guy, but able to bring up, really kind of mentor and doing a great job for me, Deontay Cypern, also graduated from Spanish Fort.
Okay.
Coach Sarasa.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a name.
It is.
How you say this? So we call him Coach T.
There you go.
Call him Coach T.
Yeah.
Special teams coordinator, running backs coach. New guy coming in, does a fantastic job as well. Defensive side of the ball, inside linebackers coach. Coach Wenzel came from Alberta.
Sure.
Younger coach, really energetic, really, really knowledgeable. Really knowledgeable. Does a fantastic job. Curtis Hicks, an outside linebackers coach, has two kids on the team. He's a coach. And a father on the team, I said, man, you got it figured out. You getting a little money to hang out with your son.
That's right.
You got it figured out, man. And then the back end, Jeffrey Dorsey, been there. Spanish Fort does a great job on the back end there. And able to bring in an assistant offensive line coach, Melvin Meggs, I coached at South Alabama. So he's come in, and he's kind of a volunteer guy that comes in and helps there. And I was able to bring in a guy named Hunter Wood, who's our director of sports performance. He graduated from Spanish Fort as well.
Hunter Wood,
yep.
His daddy wouldn't be big B89, is it?
That's 89.
Russ Wood?
Yep, yeah, and he does
my
a great
goodness.
Job.
So.
Yeah, I coached Hunter when he was in middle school at UMS.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was there for a couple of years, then he went over and he came to Spanish Fort. Hunter's a big fitness guy.
Oh, he is.
Real big strength and conditioning.
He's a physical therapist.
Yeah.
So he comes in, and his day job is physical therapy, and he comes in, and he's able to really, really coordinate that sports performance side and the recovery side. That's what's so big, is he helps with the nutrition and recovery. And he's able to take that off my plate because that's my background too. I've always been a strength coach, and I love it. And you know, Coach, I mean, until you have to trust. We don't want to let anything go as coaches.
That's right. It's hard to give up.
When I see a guy that does it better than I do, hey, take it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's Hunter right there with the weight.
Great guy.
Smart kid too.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. Smart. Absolutely. Yeah, he did good at Auburn.
He's got a passion for people, passion for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just he's a wonderful young man.
Good guy.
Yeah, he does.
Great stuff right there. Talk about this week coming up, the week prior to that first kickoff.
So we've got one full week. School start Wednesday, and then we're game week mode. So right now, my number one priority is obviously to continue to get better. You know, focusing on starting the game plan, the initial game plan, which we've started, and then just get better at us. Continue the blocking, the tackling, mm-hmm. the special teams. Continue those fundamentals. You know, I'm really big on focusing on those fundamentals. As Coach said the other day, I think you can outcoach yourself. You know, some team, you know, I'm real big on we're going to have our team, we're going to have our situational times, but we have to go back to the fundamentals. And it's hard to do now. And you start going, you go, oh, well, let's cut this time out because we've got to get to this period. You've got to go back to the basics of fundamentals. So we're working situationals. Okay. We're working first downs, we're working third downs, we're working backed up, we're working red zone. What 2-minute offense, 4-minute offense, all those situations, because the game is about situational football.
Mm-hmm.
And when our kids can understand that, that's what we're trying to achieve there. So this week's going to be big on that. And then follow up with a really long – we had about a half a game scrimmage last week. So this week is the real big mock scrimmage where we go over, hey, I mean, I'm having pregame meal. I mean, I practice all of it. Pre-game meal, this is where we go. This is how we're going to warm up.
Programming.
You've got to program.
Right.
You've got to program. And then this is where the coaches are going to be. So if you're going to be in the box on Friday night, you're going to be in the box this Friday night,
right?
You know, and so on and so forth. So it's a mock scrimmage and it's a dress rehearsal for coaches and players and all the above,
which is very important. There is no question about that. Now let's get to the night before.
Okay.
Yeah. Game time. All right. There's got to be nerves, hard to sleep.
Yeah.
Can't eat. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I think, you know, I've said it before too, that it's not, I know these kids are going to come play their butts off. That's just who these kids are.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good nerves. It's the excitement to see these kids get the opportunity to do what they work their butts off for. I bring them in Thursday mornings, and then they have Thursday afternoon off. I do that for the coaches and players, and they recover and they spend time with their family. And then so we would kind of get away from it. And then me as the head coach, I'm going through the checklist. I mean, I'm going back. Have I done this? Have I done that?
Right.
All right, they come out. What's our bear package? All right, they come out. They give us an unbalanced. What's our answers? And I go through. And then once I do that, I put it up, eat dinner with my family, and just get away for a little while. Just turn it off. And I know it's easier said than done, but you've got to do that. You can't dwell on it because, you know, it's like you know, yesterday we were finishing up, and I said, guys, put the marker down.
Right.
Put the marker down, the haze in the barn. Let's go see these kids, go work, and they're ready. And they're ready. And so once you do that, you know you've got everything checklist. I'm a big checklist guy. Once I go through that checklist, I put it up, and it's game day.
Chase Smith, head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. Mark, I know you have a question, but I just wanted to mention real quick, sometimes you can overthink it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then that's a problem.
You can outcoach yourself. You really can.
You can put too much in their heads, because if there's too much in their head, they play slow.
Yes.
And if you play slow, then you're beat from the get-go. And that's one of the biggest things that I have. You know, here's the thing that I remember. Anytime you have off weeks, you know, we used to not ever have off weeks. I didn't like off weeks. I felt like off weeks got us out of rhythm, mm-hmm. got us out of our programming, got us out of everything that we do. Plus, then you go, well, let's add this, and let's try to get this. And before you know it, you've put in just a little bit more. And before you know it, then what happens is illegal procedure, two guys in motion because you've added this or added that. And it's not that you've done anything wrong. You're trying to give yourself an edge.
Right.
And still, you know, there's a lot to be said for Danny Horn's offense where it's like it's going to be two tight ends in a full house backfield. I don't care if it's, you know, 1999
right.
or 2099. We're going to run the same plays over and over and over. And that's what we do.
Right.
Where do you find that edge, Coach? How do you find that place where it's you get to the edge of it and you go, oh, I can't do any more than that?
I think what it is wrinkles, what I call wrinkles. So you've got to establish identity. who are we and what are we going to be? And it's not about what you know. It's about what the kids know.
Exactly.
So if I can go in that room and say, all right, boys, it's third and short. What are we running? They ought to be able to tell me what we're going to run. And if they can't, then you got a problem.
Right.
You have wrinkles off of what you're good at. So if you're an outside zone team, inside zone team, you may have a wrinkle off motions and eye candy and window dressing. But the heart of the play is still what you've been working the fundamentals all summer right. and fall for. I'm a big believer in that. You know, I'm not going to go out there and say, you know, now we're going to be a triple option team or now.
Yeah.
You know, right. Or we're going to do this and cater to what the personnel is good at. Those kids know and they believe in it and they do it over and over again. And guess what my off week is this year? Week 10.
No. Oh, my gosh. I hate it. I mean, some people love it.
I know. I was talking to them. Like, yeah, well, you know, hey, we get some, you know, if
recovery
if
time.
If we're fortunate enough to make the playoffs, we'll get some more rest in this. Guys. That's 2 weeks off, no live. I mean,
let me go through that schedule real quick. Of course, you're on the road to Fairhope. Then you're back on the road the following week to Blount. Mm-hmm. You're at home against Baldwin County, my alma mater. Then you're back on the road to Sarah Lynn. Two home games, Theodore and Daphne, on the road to St. Paul's. Then you get to host McGill-Tulin. Robertsdale on the road, Murphy at home, and then you get the weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow. That's a pretty stout schedule.
Oh yeah,
pretty stout.
I think that going through as I hear that schedule, I look through there and every head coach. And I don't know a couple of the newer guys. I don't know a couple of them, but the guys that I do know, every one of them brings a little something different to the table.
Oh yeah,
and he's going to have there, and they're very good at what they do. So that's going to be quite an experience. But that Fairhope game is going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And Coach Carter does a fantastic job there, and I think the world of Tim Carter
oh, yeah.
and his staff. Joel does a really good job with his offense. You know, he's always got something. Always. That's the first game. You know, what are they going to come out in?
Chase, we got about 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds left in this segment. In the next segment, if you can stay with us, I want to get your thoughts on the NIL, okay, and how it's coming in to play in some of the high schools. But let's talk about a kid you got on your team that's committed to UAB, Jake Godfrey.
Yeah, Jake, fantastic kid. You know, when I came in March, one of the first kids I met, he came up, shook my hand. Just one of our leaders, just a powerful kid, squats 500, power cleans 300.
Wow. 175 pounds, you said?
175 pounds.
Cool.
Just a
slot receiver.
Slot receiver. Plays low to the ground, really quick twitch. You know, went up there to UAB's camp, and nobody could cover him. And just really did a great job there. And I'm just proud of the young man because he's a great leader, got a great heart. He epitomizes what a Toro truly is.
That's awesome.
And just a great family, and I can't say enough about the young man getting that opportunity. That's what it's all
that
about.
That is great.
That's the kind of guys you want your team to be built around. You guys, right. The guy was the guy who had that internal motor on and off the field.
That's right.
Wherever he does, he carries that Toro pride with him wherever right. he goes and who he is. It's not about – and for him, it's not just about being a Toro. It's about who he is as a person.
That's it.
That's what's going to carry that kid years from now when we're all sitting on the front porch rocking in the rocking chair.
That's right.
He's still going to be kicking it.
That's right. He's still running run for us. All right, hey, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chase Smith, let's talk a little bit about NIL. I want to talk about that with you and get your thoughts on it, all right? Don't go anywhere. You've got to tune in to PSR, Press Sports Report, right here on the PSR Radio Network.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Hey, you know, local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or federal government for their businesses. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Call Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, as Coach Rick Cleveland has the weekend off. Mark Lasseter here as usual. And our special guest is Chase Smith, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. And Chase, I got to tell you, this has been a fun hour. It is. I hope that we can do this again and again. I know it's kind of tough during football season, but yeah. Glad to pick your brain a little bit. 2 weeks before kickoff. And one of the things, we've talked a little bit about your team, we've talked about your coaching staff, looked at that schedule a little bit, but one of the things that is happening now, and boy, I've got some mixed emotions about it. I'm just not sure how I feel about NIL. I think it has messed up, my personal opinion, I think it has messed up the college. I think college now has become more of a profession. Now, look, I'm not against kids getting some money, all right, but I think the Pandora's box on that has been open, and it is such
it's open.
I don't know how you get some of that back. And now it's trickling into high school football, and we're seeing that in more and more states. And I'd just like to get your thought on it if you'd like to share it.
Yeah, I mean, so going back, I remember at South, you know, there was a need. You had a kid on full scholarship, and that was great. But he didn't have money for toiletries. He didn't have money to go off campus and eat. He didn't have, and you can't, back then you couldn't get a job.
Right.
Right. Right. So it's, what do these kids do? So there was, came out with cost of attendance, right? So we were able to give them a small, you know, the basically the same thing as having a little small-time job, part-time job, which was good. The problem I see is now college is not an amateur sport. If you get paid to play, it's a professional sport by
right.
definition, in my right. opinion. And the trickle-down effect is what I'm worried about, because I do think these kids – it's a big business in college, right? That's fine.
Sure.
And I do think these kids deserve everything that they got coming to them for their name, image, and likeness. But where does it stop? Where is it fair for everyone, okay? Because now it's just who has the deepest pockets.
That's right? Exactly
it's,
right.
You are paying – now it's highest bidder. And so once you open that door, it's hard to close it, and I don't know if we ever can close it. And that's what would happen in high school if we allow it to happen. It's going to create the purest form of the game, which is high school football, in my opinion, and take that amateur status away from it. And the second a kid gets paid to do that, we lose that. We lose that.
There is no doubt, and that's kind of where I am. You know, and certainly over in Pensacola, the Panhandle, where they're listening to us, you're fixing to get my thought here. And we've talked about this a couple weeks ago. Is the fact that a kid can play baseball at Tate, play football at Escambia, and play basketball at Washington. And there's no sense of loyalty, and you're seeing that more and more. And that's the thing about college football in the NIL is the fact that why did you love college football versus professional? The reason was because those kids were going to go out, and they were going to play their hearts out because they loved the game. Same way in high school. You know better than anybody, there is a very, very, very small percentage of these kids that are going to go to the next level. So they're out there giving it all they have. What hurts me, and we've seen this, and Mark, you and I talked about this before, and I won't mention any names, but we were at a big game several years ago, and a big-name kid committed to Alabama, and he was really never a factor. I don't even know if I called his name maybe twice in the whole ball game. And we've seen that in the past where you've seen some of these seniors or these juniors that know that, and with the NIL, hey, now maybe I don't have to. I can back off. I've got money. Do you think that could be a problem?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a huge problem. I think, again, it goes back to the root of what is happening. Why are you playing the game? That's what I question.
Right.
Why are you playing the game? Is it a paycheck? Those guys in the NFL, yeah, I get that. You're a number. And they understand that.
Sure.
I come play this game, and I'm good at it, but it's a business. And college becomes a business, but you never cross that line because I'm a student athlete.
Right.
And I think when you enter that portal of amateur versus professional, it's out the window. And then now with the transfer portal, I don't see how you do it. I really don't. I mean, I just – and they're doing a great job. My buddies in college are doing a great job. I say it's 24/7. And it's – now I talked to a buddy of mine who said, I've got to recruit my kids that I have here. I'm constantly recruiting my kids on campus. I can't leave. I talked to a head coach. I can't go. I can't leave. I've got to make sure these guys
stay.
Are good to go and stay.
Yeah, exactly.
You come back. Oh, Johnny's gone. Where'd he go? Oh, he's transferring to another college. So that's the element that you're battling. And then on top of that, the NIL.
It's a tough road.
Well,
I think it's going to be interesting.
What bothers me about the whole NIL thing is what does it do to your locker room?
That bothers me as much as anything. Oh, yeah. Because your locker room now, I'm telling you, there's no way around. Human nature is not going to let that be an easy deal. You know, if John Doe over here is getting $1 million to play quarterback at Alabama, and here's an offensive line who protects his backside on every single snap, and he's not getting anything, most of those kids are going to do it because they love the game, but there's going to be some who go, you know, what the heck am I doing this for? Right. Why does he get all this money, you know, just because he's the quarterback? And I'm not picking on Bryce Young or anybody else. I'm just saying it is what it is, but I worry about what happens in that locker room. And the coach's job, just like Chase just said, the coach's job is not now going out and recruiting. It's recruiting his guys. It's keeping peace in the family.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. Well, why did Daddy give little Johnny a $10 allowance and I didn't get but a dollar? You know what? And that, what does it cause? It builds resentment. And when you get resentment inside the locker room, you got a problem.
Well, then, and you got to look at that coaching staff also. Because now, if that player that's getting NIL money and all of a sudden he's just not performing, is he able to go back out on the field? Are you going to put him back out there, or is he going to go on the sideline? Mm-hmm. And if the coach is getting some money to make that kid play, I mean, it just seems like it's going
to
be a mess.
I hope they can find a way to at least cap
there's it. There's got to be some capping.
Chase, I got to tell you, it has been fun hanging out with you. And, man, you're just 2 weeks away. You're going to travel over to Fairhope to take on the Pirates, Coach Carter. And it will be an awesome ball game. And we encourage you. Listen, folks, if you've not been to a high school football game in years.
Go watch that one.
Get out there. Absolutely. Yes, that'll be a good ball
fans
game.
It's a full house. People are going to be there. People are excited. I mean, and they love it. Both schools love their teams and their communities. And it's like. And Chase said a minute ago, this is the purest form of sport left is in high school. Mm-hmm. Come watch those kids perform, our kids perform, your kids perform for the joy of the game.
That's right.
Because that's what it's about. And our fans know it. And I hope, you know, one of the things that we talk about all the time now with those meetings is sportsmanship.
Yes.
And that's just a big deal. And you know, helping each other up and picking each other up. Dustin Moss, I'll be right back, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's a good deal.
Chase, thanks for hanging out with us. Good luck to you, brother. We hope you'll come back.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right. Our first hour has come and gone. Second hour coming up. We have been visiting with Coach Chase Smith, head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. Second hour, you won't want to miss it. This is the Prep Sports Report.
For the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lesseter.
And welcome into the second hour of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen, the big guy, Coach Rick Cleveland. He is out on assignment. That's the term that we're using
quotation
here.
Quotation marks on either side of that.
Air quotes there.
Yes, air quotes. Right.
But he will be back next week. We wish him much luck this weekend.
Much luck.
Coach Mark Lassiter, you are here with us.
And, always.
Man, I got to tell you, I enjoyed that first hour with Chase Smith. That was a great hour.
What a great hire by Spanish Fort, just to keep along the good lines of our great lines of coaches that they've hired there. They just keep hiring really fine people that will come in. Chase is going to do a great job there. He's got it under control. He knows the Toro Nation. He knows what it's about. And, man, just a likable man that just comes in and loves kids.
Could you see a lot of confidence in him?
Yeah.
He just eluded of confidence. And, man, I'm happy for the Toros.
They've
got a good pick. There's no doubt. Also hanging out with us here in the Genesis Room at the Eastern Shore Hyundai is our good friend, Mr. Sean Espahani Jr. Sean, man, you've been away for a little bit. Good to have you back, brother.
Great to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. Great to see you, fellas. Yeah, been running around the world a little bit.
You have been.
It's nice to be home. How's everything been with you?
We have been doing well. A lot of great things are going on. Let me mention, by the way, I'm excited. Starting today, right after PSR, the Prep Sports Report, our new show, Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show, leaves the Sunday lineup, and we are now here following the Prep Sports Report. So
awesome.
There you go. Three
awesome.
Hours.
That is awesome.
3 hours of this on Saturday.
All
so,
right.
And it's all yours, Sean. It's all yours.
Hey, I'm excited.
But I'm gonna have a lot. We'll have a lot of fun. I'm glad, and you'll hear this in that hour. One of our dear friends, Sweet Swing and Bobby Hall, the director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama, will be a permanent part of the show. Coach Cleveland is going to be on there a lot. We're going to have a lot of great guests on, guests that are going to blow you away. We've got some new affiliates that'll be coming on as well. So a lot of great things are happening. Coming in today also with Bobby will be our good friend Matt Brandt, the proprietor of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, a sponsor of both the Prep Sports Report and Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. They're going to be in, and we're going to hang out for a little bit. We'll have David Musial on from Glen Lake, so he'll have his golfer dummy. So we're excited about all of it. So thank you for letting us hang out in this awesome, awesome room and that big TV right there, and we don't need to go down four channels.
That's right. We might have to tweak the Genesis room and the technology a little bit to get it up to
scratch.
But I'll tell
you, Sean, I want to tell you what a great thing this is for us and how much we appreciate what you've done and you got your family's done to let us come here and do this show here. It has just made a world of difference for all of us as we put this show on every week to come sit in this wonderful environment and be able to do this show from here. And Coach Smith came in, he goes, "Man, I may not want to leave today," you know, and I'm like, "I understand." And it's just awesome, and thank you so much for that.
Thank you all. We love the relationship that we have, and it's made Saturdays a lot more fun, for sure. I enjoy getting on the show with y'all, and I feel like this room was almost built for a radio show.
I think your dad and the late Terry Bell had that in mind. Of course, Coach Cleveland has talked about that quite a bit, and I think this is perfect, just perfect. So, but before we move on to some sporting news, talk real quick about what's going on out here. Talk about some of the cars. Listen, by the way, if you didn't know, I had the opportunity to drive that CV80, that Genesis CV80.
Yeah,
GV80. And if you're out and about and you're looking to get a new vehicle, come by, just say, "Let me drive it one time." I will promise you, you will be amazed at that car. It was spectacular.
Hey, and I liked when I was driving home through Timber Creek and I saw it right up there. I was like, hey, so I appreciate the promo using that spot because I know a lot of people saw it up there. So thank you, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a great month last month as far as new cars go here at Hyundai. It's kind of the same story. Inventory is tough to get. So we really focus a lot of our efforts and resources on getting top quality inventory here. And really, for the most part, that is all that it's about. It's the business has almost become, you either have cars or you don't.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is it has got to be tough right now.
It is.
And are you seeing any changes in the industry to fix that?
The every month has really brought a new set of obstacles and challenges. There's all kinds of market conditions, things that you run into that affect just the availability of everything. But it looks like every time we see some of the softening as far as prices go, I mean,
right.
That's when we really try to jump on them. Because we've seen over time this thing's just trended upwards. But we got a lot of great inventory that I'm actually really proud and really excited about. Every price level. I mean, it took a lot of time to find these $35,000 cars, but we added about 250 of them over the last 2 weeks that we went and found and acquired, from all over the Southeast.
So if someone's listening to us right now and they say, you know what, I'm going to ride by there, what do they need to do? What do they need to do to check out one of these vehicles?
Just walk in the front door, bring a driver's license, and that's it.
Can you go online too if they
absolutely. I mean, we have Eastern Shore, www.easternshorehyundai.com. We've got our Toyota store, www.easternshoretoyota.com, easternshoreluxurycars.com. And then if you want to sell your car, we've got our certified buying center also, which www.certifieduscarbuyingcenter.com.
Sure.
So
Check it out. Yeah. I mean, check it out. We're happy that you are here with us. You're going to hang out with us for a little bit?
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. Very good. Let's get into a little sports. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be talking with Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land. The 6A Region 1 is a toughie. We talked with Coach Chase Smith about that, and we'll certainly do it with Jeff coming up here in the next segment.
No doubt. And Jeff, you know, what a wonderful man. Just does a good job with wherever when he was playing ball at Southern Miss and came back home, you know, coached, I think it's Satsuma, before he went to Sarah Land. And what a great job he's done there at Sarah Land. Just every year he's got a team that he puts on the field that's very competitive, and he does a really good job. And I'm anxious to see, because I think their team, according to, now he's going to be mad at me, but according to sports writers, they're picked to win that region, preseason pick. Yeah. So I know no pressure. Jeff's kind of like, would you put that target on us for?
Hey, yeah, we're going to keep talking about football, but let me turn and talk baseball real quick. Something happened last night. Young man, former McGill Tulane,
yes.
Yellow Jacket, Bubba Thompson. He went up to Arlington, made it to the big leagues for his first time. I know his mom drove over to watch him play. Here's something that's interesting. He's the first player from Mobile or Baldwin County ever to be drafted in the first round straight from high school.
Right. That's right.
That's pretty special.
That is special. Wow. And what a great job for him. There's another kid from McGill who's
his good friend, yeah, Jalen Tolbert.
Playing football. Did he get drafted by the Cowboys?
Yeah, he played at South Alabama.
Yeah.
So and they talk all the time.
That's awesome, man. Two kids from McGill playing NFL and Major League Baseball this year.
That's awesome stuff.
That is good.
It is good stuff.
Maybe we can get him on sometime. That would
be
fun to do.
Boy, that'd be a great conversation.
You know, we need to get on also a young man from Faith. He's not a young man anymore, but Josh Donaldson. We'll get Josh on.
Pretty good
player. Yeah, he's playing for the Yankees now. He's not doing too bad. Okay.
I learned something last night. I didn't know this. Maybe – all right, everybody knows the passing of Vin Scully, the great sports caster, one of the greatest voice in all of sport.
No doubt. Recognizable.
But he was on call. You know, he was on the call when Henry Aaron hit 7:15. Mm-hmm. He was on the show that night and made the call and talked about it. And he talked about the two players. You know, after the home run, everything stopped. You know, he hit 7:15 and places going. An iconic moment in sport for sure. But he talked about the two players. You know, Hank Aaron was a very quiet, humble man from Mobile, of course, everybody knows, and just a guy that never, you know, he looked about the same from his first day in the major leagues to his last. His body type was always fit and ready to go. Now, Babe Ruth, on the other hand, was bigger than life. You know, always got something going. Well, Vin Scully said this, and I don't know I would have to think it's true if Vin Scully said it. But in this little talk, he was talking about, you know, Babe Ruth was a lot different than Henry Aaron, a big guy and all yada yada. They changed the pinstripes from sideways to straight up and down on the Yankee uniform because it made Babe Ruth look smaller.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a story I haven't heard.
I haven't heard.
All right, let's take our time out real quick. When we come back, we'll visit with Jeff Kelly, the head coach for Sarah Land. He's up next right here on PSR.
On the Pops Market Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alvin, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Today, we're broadcasting from our home away from home. It is the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room, and man, what a place to be. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Lassiter, the big guy. Rick Cleveland has the weekend off, and we're going to go to our Pops Communication Line and welcome in the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land, Coach Jeff Kelly. Coach, how you doing, pal?
Doing well. We're, heck, enjoying a day or two after the first week of practice, so it's been a good week. But appreciate you guys having me on.
Man, it's always good to hear your voice, Jeff. And wanted to ask you, just kind of tell us a little bit about your first week, how it went, and we'll get into talking a little bit about the upcoming season. How'd your first week go? Were y'all able to get all your practices in, regardless of the weather? Did that
play a factor for your practices this week?
You know, early in the week we were dodging it just a bit, and we're fortunate, you know, to have some options if we do have weather there with having a covered area there. But so we were able to get some work in Tuesday. We went out and practiced in the rain and got a little wet ball work in, which was good, something we need, and we really didn't have any trouble with it, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that was good. We were able to put the shoulder pads on Wednesday and Thursday and went full pads yesterday and got to mix it up a little bit, compete a little bit, and it's really the first time we've been able to do that since May, and it was good to see our guys, you know, have some competitive time out there together. We're excited about our bunch, but we mixed it up pretty good yesterday and was pleased to come out of the week with the work that we got done.
Man, that's awesome, buddy. And you got the weekend off, get cranked up again next week. Looking into your schedule as you start getting ready for that schedule, you open up with Daphne, and then that region y'all are in is unbelievable, man. We were talking with Chase Smith earlier this morning about how it's like playoffs every week.
It is. You know, we always want to open up with a very good opponent, competitive game, and we've got all that and more with Daft and Coach King, and going to have his guys ready to play. We'll have to get on the bus and go across the bay and play them over there. So, you know, we've got a young team, kind of overall, not a ton of, you know, seniors. We've got a bunch of guys that's played a lot, but we're still, you know, it's going to be a challenge, you know, starting off the season with such a great opponent. And but then we'll jump right into region play with Murphy and St. Paul's and Spanish Fort and go from there. It'll be a week-to-week war, it seems like. You know, we'll take it one week at a time and try to prepare the very best we can and get our guys ready to go. But, you know, we know it's going to be tough, but we are, you know, but on the other hand, it's going to be tough on everybody. So we got to manage it and try to compete better than everybody else. And we know there's some big games coming down the schedule. But, you know, really like this football team. You know, there's a lot of you know, young guys in there that can run. Got some guys defensively that we feel good about. Just got to get in there and go play. You know, it's been a good summer. We've had a lot of work, and we've been working against each other, it seems like, for months. And I think everybody's ready to turn the page and get going against somebody else.
We're visiting with Surrey Lions head football coach Jeff Kelly. Coach, one of the things, obviously, as Mark just mentioned, that 6A Region 1 is just a toughie. And as you look at it, there are four new head coaches in this region. Now, you know all of them, but how does that make any difference in the way you prepare for the ball games? Maybe some of these you haven't seen before, this coaching staff before, or you just go about your business the same way?
You know, that's a great question. It's a great point. You know, I've been fortunate to be around, you know, in our region for a long time. And, you know, over the years, you kind of learn guys. I know, you know, just for example, you know, you got Ben that left and went to Enterprise. And, heck, we've been playing each other for 7 or 8 years. And you know, there's not a lot of change over that time. You understand scheme and you understand kind of what they want to do. And they understand you. And so when you bring four new staffs in there, there's going to be, you know, new challenges. And it may make it tougher from an X's and O's standpoint, but it's also exciting because, you know, it's like you're playing, you know, in the playoffs. One of the things that's always exciting about the playoffs is go play somebody that does things differently that you don't see every week or every year. And, you know, we've got, you know, there's four new guys, you know, in our region and teams with new coaches and new staffs. And so that's going to present new challenges, but, you know, that's the exciting part. And as a coach, you know, you look forward to that, and try to put together a plan to get you guys ready to play. But it definitely adds a different flavor, a different spice to, you know, the region compared to years past.
You know, Jeff, I think that doing that, and you talk about getting ready for each game, you got a staff that's going to be you're going to rely on to get all that done. Tell us a little bit about your coaching staff, partner.
100%. You know, feel fortunate to have the guys that we do. Our offensive line is led by Chris Fancher, who is a veteran guy who's been, you know, at all different levels over the years. He's been coaching 30-some-odd years, and he brings a wealth of experience and does a great job getting those guys ready to play. Brett Bowell and Shane Corley and Matt Dearman are all, you know, that's our offensive staff right there with our wideouts, our tight ends, and our backs. You know, we've been together a couple of years now and known, you know, Coach Bowell, we've been together an extremely long time. So those guys, we all know how each other think, and we understand kind of the expectations. They do a really, really good job taking a lot of the work off of me in terms of, you know, being able to add new thoughts, new ideas, and bring things to the table there. So that's good. Defensively, Brett West is our defensive coordinator. He's been with us, you know, 5 or 6 years, been coordinating this. This is, I think, his third year. Russell McDuffie is our co-DC. You know, all those guys, you know, kind of come through the system and have been assistants for us for a long time. And Coach, you know, Scott Crowley, who's now in administration with us, he was our DC. But we've all kind of, you know, come up together through it. And you know, we're excited about those guys. Marcus McCarty is a guy that, you know, probably the newest guy. He and Luke Lanier on the defensive side with our secondary and our D-line, been with us now 2 years. But, you know, they came in and just brought a jolt of energy and new ideas last year. And so excited about those guys. They do an excellent job day in and day out getting our guys ready to go. And on top of just being good football guys, they're the kind of people you want working with your kids. And I've got a son on the team, and so I see it through both lenses, you know, both as a coach and as his dad. And I feel real fortunate to have the guys we do on our side.
Coach, I got to tell you, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Hope that you'll be able to be with us again. Football right here, we're looking forward to it. Just 2 weeks
can't
away.
And,
look, there's a target on your back, as you know, going into this season, looking for that repeat as a region champ. But we wish you the best. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us. And I got to say this real quick. Our engineer, Charlie Moss, big Southern Miss fan. And he would probably love for you to say go to the top just one time to him.
Hey, Southern Miss to the top. I love it. Good times back in the day. And hey, we're excited for the season. We got the target on us. That's the way we like it. We're going
to
show up every week and see what happens. Hey, man, that's why we do what we do.
That's right.
That's right.
Brother.
That's right.
Jeff, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it and wish you the best of luck, buddy.
Y'all have a great one. Appreciate what you do, guys.
Thank you, pal. Thank you, Coach. Coach Jeff Kelly right there.
What a delightful
coach
for guy.
He's a great guy.
He really
head
is.
Coach for Sarahland Spartans. And listen, he has done one heck of a job there. I think he was at Jackson before.
Was he at Satsuma, then went to Jackson?
Maybe that's what it was.
Is that right? Did he coach at Satsuma?
Let me double check that.
He did.
I think
he did.
He did.
Yeah. I remember we played against him. Gosh, I'm getting senile. Yeah, we did. We played against him when he was at Satsuma.
That's
right. I remember that. When I was at Fairhope. And so, yeah, then he went to Jackson, and now he's just done a fabulous job. And
beautiful stadium.
Beautiful stadium. And they just keep upgrading, you know. And kudos to Sarahland for what they've done with it. They've decided, they made a commitment several years ago to, we're going to make our school and our school system here, and we're going to make it the best we can. We want people to want to come to Sarahland.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And you see the rewards of it now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more football as we're just 2 weeks away from high school football kicking off. Man, oh, man, we've been waiting on it a long time.
There we are.
And here we go. All right, you got to tune in to PSR. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence, it is gone. What a
for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
There you go right there, the late Vin Scully. That was April the 8th. Are you ready for the year?
Yes.
1974, when Hank Aaron hit 715.
No, I see. I was about to turn 15.
Yeah.
And so I remember
you go from 13 to 15? What happened?
I skipped a year. But I remember sitting in the den watching that with my dad, and when he hit it, we both just jumped straight up in the air. It was such an iconic moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? And that was what a great guy and ambassador for baseball Henry Aaron was. Just a delightful man, delightful person, and always was the same. Same
absolutely.
Guy all the way through his career.
Yep.
Always the same.
And you got to say the same for Vin Scully. I mean,
yes. Oh, golly,
absolutely,
yeah.
The voice of baseball. And, boy, just when you – if you wanted to do play-by-play and you grew up a sports fan, who did you listen to? You listened to Vin Scully. There's a lot of them. Okay.
Yeah,
Howard Cosell. I mean, there were so Cosell. Many. Yeah, absolutely.
What was the trio that was the most famous with Howard Cosell?
That would have been Dandy Don. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
Who was the third one?
That would have been what's his name?
On Monday Night Football?
Monday
Night. Yeah, Pat Summerall. Yeah, Pat Summerall. John Madden, Al Michaels.
No, this is okay. Way. Yeah, right, this is right. Before your
who
time.
Who was with Dandy Don and Howard Cosell?
I'll have to look that up. Who was that?
I was a guy who played football for the Giants, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gifford.
Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
Frank Gifford. Man, and you wanted to watch that just to listen to those guys because they were incredibly funny. They really were. Howard Cosell, I thought he was a complete idiot when I was a kid. But then after you get older, you realize he was pretty smart. What he did and how he did it. And a lot of characters, and those guys were really – and they all fit together, you know, to make that show. And today when I watch Monday Night Football, I just – no offense to anyone who's doing it, but it's just not – from what I grew up with, it was just better back then for some reason. I don't know.
It was. By the way, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Leonard's
Prep
Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen.
Somehow we got off onto the
– We did. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland has the weekend off. We say that he's on –
air quotes
assignment.
Yes.
Coach Mark Laster here as usual. Sean Espahani Jr. hanging out with us. And you leave the door open,
and
you never know who's going to come in. But our good friend, one of the proprietors of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, my dear friend Matt Brandt. Matt, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, guys. This is my inaugural visit to the Prep Sports Report and these palatial studios that
here at the Genesis Room.
The Genesis Room.
Absolutely.
I walked in here. I was like, I'm out of my league. I need to work on the decorations. This place looks fantastic.
There's five big TVs here. We've got everything. Mark, you even said it. Hey, you know, when football starts, there's no sense for me to leave.
There's not.
Okay. So
just stay. There's coffee. There's a bathroom. There's water right over here. Got a little refrigerator. Sean, I'm sorry,
That's
pal.
Fine. No, it's just no problem. Kinda... As long as you guys keep that sign up there on that someone put.
No, we'll tell you what. We'll walk down and you sell some cars if you'd like more.
Hey, tell you what, I know a guy that can bring some really great food over here too.
Oh, yeah, hey, you sure
we can
do.
We can spend it all day.
Between the two of us,
that's right.
Have your choice of menu.
That was a Boudreaux's Cajun. We could shameless plug.
Yeah, you go to Boudreaux's Cajun Grill or Boom's Thai Kitchen.
That's right.
So, hey, by the way, let me get this in real quick. Local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama, and Washington D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen, which here I might need to give you this, Matt, governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or federal government for their businesses. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call, 251-476-9900. All right. I got to tell you, enjoy talking with Jeff Kelly just a few moments ago. Excited for the Spartans of Saraland. I think they're going to have – they do. They've got a target on their back, Coach. You know that. Yes. All right. They're looking to repeat as a region champion, which is that's a tough region. That 6A, 1A.
Region 1.
Man, I could not get that out.
That's okay.
Yeah. Going 90-0 over here, Coach. That coffee is got some caffeine.
Coffee's
in.
Going. You're worried about. You're thinking about menus from two different restaurants.
Well, whatever, exactly, because I had earlier. I had last night. I had some Thai curry, chicken Thai curry, medium, and threw in a little pineapple. And by the way, my man Freddie Couples is on TV right now. But boy, you're talking about good. If you get a chance, grab some of that. But yeah, so I got a lot of things going on here.
Sure you do.
Okay.
A little boom.
It's good.
It's good
for
you. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You have. So. So anyway. All right. Let's talk about your week. You had a. You had a good week. You were at Camp Beckwith.
Camp Beckwith.
And explain
on Weeks Bay.
Tell folks what that is and what that means.
What we do at Bayside is that for years we went to Camp Grace over in Mobile, and then we were able to change over and Camp Beckwith's a little closer. And we go down there to the camp. We take all the boys down there, and it's all set up for us to go down. There's places for us to sleep there on campus. And the kids have some time to bond with one another. But then we leave, and we eat good. We practice one morning at 6 a.m., the next morning at 6:30. And then we come back, you know, one day in the afternoon and practice. You can't do 2 days like we used to. I remember we were talking about it back in the 70s when we had football didn't start. Your first game wasn't after Labor Day, but you started your football practice at the end of 1st of August, and we'd go 2 days for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Every day, two practices a day for two full weeks. It's just the way it was done back then, but, you know, it's changed, and so now you can only go X amount of 90 minutes. If you have two practices a day, you're only allowed 90 minutes, and then only one of those can be in full gear.
Wow.
And so it just kind of changed up the way they do things a little bit. But it was great. The camp was great. The folks at Camp Beckwith are absolutely fantastic, wonderful people. I ate so much food. I can tell. I mean, I feel bloated. I don't eat that much.
You really don't, and I got to give you credit.
I don't eat that much, but I feel like a hog this morning. And I was like, gosh, I couldn't hardly move yesterday. Last night we had a scrimmage. I was like, good gosh, I'm not accustomed to having that much food in my system. But it was wonderful. And they did a great job. It's a great time to talk to kids about getting to know your players, them to get to know one another. It's a really good experience.
And let me just throw this out real quick, and we're gonna go around the room here. But one of the neat things that is happening at Bayside, and as a father, you have to really appreciate that. And I know you're a young father, Sean.
Yes, sir.
You're a father, and an old father, Matt, just as I am.
Yeah.
But you now have your son, Landon, on the sidelines with you.
Yeah.
And you really had the opportunity this week to spend. Now, he's been across from you when playing in a couple of games, T.R. Miller a little more recent. But he on the same sidelines with you, how cool is that?
That's really neat. I mean, and I'm not going to get all misty sitting over here doing it, but having him in the room when we have our meetings at night and after we put the kids to bed and we go over the next day's what we're doing,
schedule,
what we got to work on, things that we need to shore up or whatever, and to hear him, you know, give his input about this, about that, and ideas he has, you just sit over there and you realize. Yeah, that's my son, and and he's my kid, and I love him to death. He's also a grown man who has some great ideas. Then that when you have to, it's funny how you have to kind of, you never, as a dad, I don't know if I'll ever be able to differentiate him between him being my son and being a person who is of equal importance on our staff. You know, we're the same guy, and he brings a great amount of energy to our program. And it is a delight to have him there. You know, he made the comment the other day. He said, you know, Dad, you coached me. You coached against me when he was in high school.
Right.
And he goes, then I've coached against you, and now we coach together. So we've covered all four phases. And so I was like,
that's good.
That's pretty cool.
That's
pretty cool. But, yeah, having him there is really great.
So I got to ask you, what is Coach Lazenby, when he says, Lassiter, Coach Lassiter, do you both look? What I mean, how does that work out?
Thank goodness he does.
Has he got a nickname for you and one for Landon?
Landon's nickname was nickname in high school. Laz nicknames every single player we had.
Right.
And his name was Mongoose.
Mongoose, that's right.
And he called him Mongoose, and today he just calls him Goose, I think. So he says, Goose, we need to do this. And
Cool. He calls me any short name he can think of. Munchkin,
short cake,
short stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, but that's fine. And it's really good to see because all those guys coached him. Coach Lefford coached him in football, and he was
– Stapleton.
Stapleton. He did it for Fairhope. Yeah. And David's – Coach Stape's son and Landon grew up together. They're like thick as thieves all the way up. Roommates in college, worked together in college, and then now little David, he's coaching football at Tuscaloosa County with Adam Weingarten.
Sure.
And so, yeah, our families are connected at the hip, you know, always will. And it's a great experience, and I am a very fortunate dad, I can assure you.
That is awesome. Hey, only got about a minute left in this segment. Just a reminder, coming up right after the Prep Sports Report, Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. And we're excited to move from that Sunday lineup to the Saturday lineup, especially with football right here upon us, because what we'll be able to do is we're going to talk golf first. That is our motto, if you will. We talk golf first, and then we're going to talk some football. And we'll be certainly sitting in here a lot of times. Pick the game you want to talk about, okay? You know what I'm talking about, Matt. It is really going to be neat to be able to do that. And we're just so excited to be part of this Saturday lineup. I think it's going
to
be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it just to be able to come out here more often, be in the show more, be back-to-back sports.
Absolutely. I mean,
and then, golf, sports,
it's
football,
in the,
food.
It's in the air again.
There you go. It is. Yep. Really is. All right, let's take our final timeout. When we come back, it is the Grace segment with Brother Mark right here on PSR.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
As we went to camp this week, it was something that you try to do at camp. Any team, when you go, you're working on getting your team better to do this and that, techniques, plays, all that kind of stuff. One of the main things you're trying to do is get that team to come together as a team. Football, in my opinion, you take those teams out. When you have a team that plays together, believes in one another, cares about one another, collectively, any team can beat any other team on any given night, any given Saturday, Sunday, collectively as a team. That one team may have two or three players that are, you know, NFL-type players one day. Your team may not have any. But if you play as a team, as a unit, collectively, that group, if they all play together and play as hard as they can, every single play, they have a chance to win. They may not, but they're going to have a chance. And myself, when I thought about that, think about that all the time, I think about how does that happen? Well, one way it happens is that you go and you build a sense of team, build a sense of unity. And it's not easy, guys. Today, it's not easy. This world we live in today, it is not, because that's not a norm for society today. You know, the way it was supposed to be when Jesus told us in John 13:34, it says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. Now, when you have a football team that doesn't like one another, they're probably not going to love each other very much either, you know. And when they don't like one another, you're going to have a hard time. If there's jealousy, so we were talking about the NIL stuff a little while ago. When there's jealousy in the room or resentments in the room, it's tough to bring that group together. When those two teams do come together, when you have teams that do form that bond and they find it, some teams are just more inclined to be that way for whatever reason. More kids out in the same class that are of the same type backgrounds,
whatever it is, or they just have grown up together, or what they just have a sense of unity. When you have that, you have those cohesive teams. Those teams are a force to be reckoned with, not only in sport, but in life when they leave here, because they understand what it means to be a part of a team. Because in all way, one way, shape, or another, we're all a part of a team of some sort, somewhere, somehow. And we all have to find a way to find that place in our heart that puts us together and is able to say, I'm going to put aside my personal wants or needs or things, whatever. I'm going to put that aside for the betterment of what we're trying to do. This show, we all have to put together, put away our ideas and stuff. And what's best for this group? What's best for us as a group, as a whole, when we try to put a little show on? And we made a decision a long time ago that this show is about building people up and not bringing them down. That's easy to go out. You could hear us talk on this radio show, and we could bash every coach in the state of Alabama at least once for something. You could. Why? What's the point? There's enough bad out there, folks. That's the way I see it. Enough bad. In our football world, in our little group at Bayside, and I'm just going to talk about them because that's the only thing I got any control over is what I do with our group. I don't control them. I can only control who I am with them. My job today, and I'm telling you, and I've been preaching this for quite a while now, my job since I woke up from that heart attack, my job has been impressed upon me is that my job is to be a blessing to those kids. Now, that blessing can be tough sometimes. You know, it can be, because as a coach, you've got to give them tough love. But in my opinion, the only way I can give them tough love, they got to know I love them, not as a football player, but as a human being, as a kid, as a person, who he is outside the world of football. That's what he has to, that's what I have to do. If I can't do that, I'm not going to be very successful. I may be successful if I got a great team, but year in and year out, are we going to be a good football team? Let's just take a look at what Phil Lazenby's done over the years with a team that you don't look out there and there's not, we have one guy, Jonathan Walton, played in the SEC in all those years. One guy. But what has he done? He creates a team with a sense of unity. And everybody abides by the same standards. You play your heart out, period. That's it. You play for one another, you play your heart out. Because when we put up the cleats and the lights go out, and music stops playing, and you're just out there working working here at Hyundai and you're trying to make, you know, trying to make your living, you work as a part of a team here. And you got to do your best and be a blessing to the people around you. And when that happens, just like it's happened for Sean and your group here, things happen and make it good.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And you're absolutely right about what y'all done and what Coach Lazenby and the staff has done at Bayside year in and year out. The whole time I was there doing play-by-play, you could see it. Heard many times, man, these ain't the biggest players. They ain't the fastest players, but they would go out and play as a team, and you better watch out what that scoreboard said at the end of when the time ran out. Pretty doggone good. Great one, Mark. Matt, I know you deal with that too. You got a big team over at Boudreaux's as well.
I do, and I've had a lot of opportunity and years of leadership experience in my other jobs. And, of course, you know, you can't have a successful business without having great people behind you. And one thing I always stood by, much what you're saying, Mark, is that they've got to know that you care before they care what you know.
That's right.
And I think that's a really big part of the team we built at Boudreaux's and how long I've been able to keep the same staff in place. And it's helped us win accolades and great business results. And to have a 5 years in a row, we've been best Eastern Shore restaurant through local voting, through the Nappies, is really exciting for me. And every year we win, you know, it's all about the staff. It's not all about me, but it's all about that they care because they know I care. And then it all flows back to the results of the business.
And you got to do the same thing, Sean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm at a different stage of my career as you gentlemen. But
because you're like 40 years younger than us.
Right. But I've been real fortunate to be on some great teams, to learn from some great men and women.
Yes.
And, you know, we do our best to pass on what we know to the guys, and you form a little bit of a chain, and and see how much it can pull.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. Hey, it has been a fun show today. I want to thank Matt. Thank you for coming in. And by the way, Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show happens right after this. You won't want to miss it. If you're new to the show, we have a ton of fun. We talk golf first. Sean, as usual, thanks for A, the breakfast, B, letting us hang out here. And man, Mark, it was great to have Coach Chase Smith on with us, the head football coach for the Toros of Spanish Fort. Good luck to him. I like him. I think he's a good snag. Yeah. He's a good snag for the Toros, no doubt about it, in his first year. And having Coach Jeff Kelly with the Sierra Leone Spartans, they got a target on their back. But if there's anybody that you want coaching your team with a target
Jeff
on
Kelly's
your back,
the man.
That's exactly right. There ain't no doubt about it. So we're excited. Coach Rick Cleland will be back next week. Well, we say that. We don't know.
We don't know. His assignments can get varied, and they can come up at any time. You never know.
That's right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Mark?
Man, love one another. That's all I can think. That's my number one thing. Love one another.
Isn't there a song out there? Isn't there a song about love one another? Boy, just think about that. You know, here's a real thought. Here's a thought for you. Why don't today you do just one nice thing for a person.
Just somebody.
Just one. Open the door.
For no reason.
Say thank you. Okay. Whatever. Just do one nice thing. And if everybody started doing that, might have a little bit better place to live.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Better.
Yeah. Those little things matter.
You know, I was at the gas station on my way in today, and it's funny you say that. Lady was like, I like those glasses. And I told her, I said, yeah, they're a little dirty. I need to clean them. This lady that works at the gas station, she goes, give me those, babe. Takes them and goes washes them and cleans them, which – gives them back to me. And she was like, now put them on.